It's now 6:30, Friday, July 31st. On the 9th of Av, which is the fourth month in the Jewish calendar, there's been destruction and the inevitable desolation. Like Jesus said, your house is left unto you desolate. So in the book of Lamentations, we have an account of, as it's written there, the daughter of my people. She is wasted. She is utterly empty. Josephus, in the temple after that, of course, he records everything that happens in there. And I suggest, you know, if anybody's hearing this, it's worthwhile as a Christian to read about what happened there in the siege between 66 and 70 AD. The Bible does tell us a bit about what Babylon had done too. It's recorded in Jeremiah. Quite a bit of details there. Let's summarize 2 Chronicles. And then, of course, Jeremiah is the writer of Lamentations. He is the prophet to the nations. God said he'd set him apart in the womb for that very thing. So the word came to Israel, but you know what? God had word he gave word to the nations through Jeremiah as well. So we, the church, are a called out body of the Messiah in the name of him, salvation, Jesus Christ. There's no other name given above, given under heaven, whereby we must be saved. And it is the name above all names. And that is every tribe, tongue, nation, and language, Jew and Gentile, can be one in that body. And I'd like to just mention here that that body can never be destroyed. Jesus said, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it. And now that he has breathed the Spirit into every member to be enabled and eternal in his body, first by the work that he had done to cleanse us, the atonement, the blood, the sinless blood of the Lamb without spot or blemish for us. And then he was able to wash, but then it says regenerate or renew us with that Spirit. Well, we are a temple. Jesus told Cephas, he said, man, your name is actually Petros, like a pebble, like a stone. But upon this, what Peter had said prior to it, remember he said, who do men say that I am? And then he says, but who do you say that I am? And he answered correctly. He answered according to the scriptures, and the Father revealed to Peter that Jesus is the stone which the builders rejected. But whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. That's the exact wording of it, that prophecy. And if it sounds like I'm talking without, like, referencing the scriptures, well, I'm referencing them. But, yeah, I'm not giving you street name and address. Perhaps that'll come later. But I just wanted to get this recording in and make it so that people who are listening will know that this temple that we find ourselves in, as a member of the body of Messiah, can never be destroyed. And we ought to be so thankful, because our revelation and understanding of the Word of God came from the Jew. And the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for the Jew first and also to the Gentile. So when the Messiah was offered to the nation first, through their fall became the riches of the nations, right? And through our mercy, that they might obtain mercy, it tells us in Romans 15 there, that we ought to show mercy to them. I won't lose this this theme here of being in the temple, because on this time, it's July 31st, sure, but it's the end of what would have been like, you know, a time of fasting and mourning for our Jewish brethren who... they mourn what I had said right at the very beginning, you know, the temple being destroyed under, at the time of, that Jeremiah records, and that's in the fourth month on the ninth day. It's actually after a 16 month siege, and everything that God said in Deuteronomy 28 and Leviticus 26, it all happened, as in the most unspeakable things. Like, some of the things are recorded in Lamentations and it's done poetically, but to be an eyewitness of that grief and sorrow is extremely traumatizing and heavy. And then of course they mourn that the temple was destroyed, and again after a siege, a time that the Romans had it there going on from 66 AD after the Messiah was born, 666 to, well, sorry, whenever the common era, whenever they write that, I mean, we say after he's born, it can be very subjective for those who are really into calendars, so we'll just say after Yeshua died and rose again, there was 40 years before that temple was destroyed. And so that came about in 70 AD, again, on the fourth month, on the ninth day. The fourth month, meaning that the first one would be Abib, or later became known as Nisan, when the Jews were in the diaspora, or, you know, scattered about. Big words here people use in Christianity, diaspora. Maybe it's also used by anthropologists or something, I don't know, but they've been scattered through the nations. And yeah, they're mourning, and they fast on this time because they recognize that the temple is destroyed, and they of course long for the temple so that the word of the Lord can go forth from Zion, right? It says in I think it's Isaiah chapter 2. And that, yeah, it will be literal. The knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth like waters cover the sea. You hear those honkers? God's creation. That will happen, and he will build his temple, and he is building his temple, I mean, his body. So we see this now, but he also will when he rules on the throne of David for 1,000 years. Right now, Yeshua is not on the throne of David at the right hand in heaven. He has the keys, and he'll come down and take care of that. And there's so much of your Bible you can read to see that. This is just to be very, I don't know, sober, to consider that others mourn, you know, and again, we ought to show mercy back. And at the same time, be so grateful for what we have that's eternal, the eternal body. And then, of course, he said, we are living stones upon this cornerstone. Upon this rock, I will build my body. Ecclesia, called out ones. He's the head. We're called out. We're not of the world. We're in the world. I'm sure time's probably running out for you to bear along with this message, especially when I'm not reading the graphic writing, you know, the writing. But yeah, I do have it in my heart, and this message is coming out from there. And you can reference these scriptures or give me a call or send me an email, jkmcksid@gmail.com, and I'd be happy to give you the scriptures that pertain to the discussion the exhortation to be thankful and be in wonder that we are in an eternal temple that's not made with hands and that, you know, can never be destroyed. You are living stones. You are living stones. And that, you know, Peter wrote that down. The Holy Spirit directed that. And Peter was the one who, Yeshua, Jesus said, wow, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And that he is the stone which the builders rejected. The same has become the head and the corner. It's marvelous, marvelous in our eyes. It is the Lord's doing. It is a stumbling stone to those who are offended. But on whom whosoever believes on this stone, and that is that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. I hope I did a good job of just trying to lay that out as simply as I can. When you read in your Bibles in Matthew 16 and maybe Mark, just before they go up to Mount Hermon, you know, where Jesus says these things, that the gates of hell will not prevail and my church will be built upon this rock. That's what he's referencing, actually, is the Bible. Because it testifies to him. All the scriptures testify to him. That's what the Holy Spirit does. On whomsoever this stone falls will be ground to powder. But if you fall on it, you know, you can be fit in. And, you know, we come with a broken heart. It's a brokenness in our heart that makes us realize that we need to receive that atonement and that we need the Spirit of God and we need to be born again. So on whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. That's the fulfillment of that prophecy. And that is really what was going on there between Peter and Jesus when Jesus said to the disciples, who do men say that I am? And it really carries on into this whole understanding of a temple that can never be destroyed and that people do mourn what was made, that were types and shadows of the eternal temple that, you know, God had intended, where he would put us in him. Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, or maybe on his way there, probably more accurately, at the upper room there in Pesach at the Passover, the evening meal before the actual Passover slaughter of the lambs. On that evening before, he said, before he was to be crucified, Father, I will that they be, you know, where I am, and that they may behold my glory, which I had with you before the foundation of the world, that they may be one, even as we are one. As you are in me and I am in you, may they be in me and I in you, that the world may know that you have sent me and loved me. And even so, he sent the disciples and loved them. The Bible tells us by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, or placed into one body. And it's the Spirit that makes us these living stones in this temple, a habitation of God through the Spirit. Thanks for bearing with just a very raw message here, but I hope it's edifying. I hope it encourages you, and that at the same time causes you to show mercy to those who are mourning, and to be able to give a reason for the hope that is within you. with meekness, or with gentleness, as it says. Okay, shalom, Shabbat shalom on this night.